Man Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We know Hillary can't be trusted. We've learned that.
He has spent this entire campaign offering a dog whistle to his most hateful supporters.
Candidates Trump and Clinton yesterday as their surrogates were all over the nation.
We got work to do to finish what we started 8 years ago.
President Obama campaigning for Clinton in Florida there, while Bernie Sanders appears with Clinton at one of her campaign stops. And for Donald Trump, his wife Melania says in Pennsylvania of him,
he certainly knows how to shake things up.
While Trump's former nemesis, Republican Senator Ted Cruz, was traveling yesterday with Mike Pence.
And I'm doing everything I can to defeat Hillary Clinton.
The Hill is quoting sources close to House leadership as saying that Speaker Paul Ryan will step down from that post after Election Day. This is USA Radio News.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the point? After reading some off-the-wall social media post where quality of content takes a backseat to quantity of clicks. Now we're doing something about that. Introducing The Point at westernjournalism.com. I'm Norval Rose, executive editor at The Point. Our clear, concise, compelling content will get you right to the point in each and every post. Smartly presented, sharply defined. You'll see what really matters. Content with perspective and purpose. We promise a bold voice and viewpoint, fearless commentary, insight, and analysis. The Point is your conservative compass, true to the principles and virtues of honest-to-goodness American values. We will honor your time and respect your intelligence. Together, we'll make a difference. And that's The Point at westernjournalism.com.
In just shy of 2 hours, festivities begin in Chicago to celebrate the Cubs World Series win. Here's Jay Corwin.
Cubs fans gather in Chicago today for a parade to celebrate the Northsiders' historic World Series win. Mayor Rahm Emanuel says the parade will be like nothing else.
We're going to have a parade in Chicago that will stand the test of times. Will be a parade that 108 years have waited for.
Festivities begin at 10 local time when the team leaves Wrigley Field. It ends with a noon rally in Grant Park.
Owners of a gasoline pipeline serving the eastern U.S. that suffered a rupture and explosion a few days ago in Alabama say they won't be able to restart it again until Sunday. Colonial Pipeline Company officials had earlier hoped to be able to restart it tomorrow, but they say repairs are not quite done. The pipeline carries 1.3 million barrels of gasoline every day from the Gulf Coast to the Northeast. The shutdown has caused some shortages and price hikes in the east. Powered by westernjournalism.com, this is USA Radio News.
It started at bongo night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Getting some late word about continued concerns about the possibility the Tuesday elections could be disrupted. We've been telling you the FBI and other U.S. intelligence agencies are concerned that the Russians or other outside forces may be planning to create chaos on Tuesday. But now we're getting late word that CBS News is citing U.S. intelligence sources as saying that Al-Qaeda may be planning attacks in three U.S. states on Monday, the day before Election Day.
Thought we were going to be homeless in Las Vegas for the night.
That woman, a guest at the Paris Las Vegas Casino Resort after a power outage, forced a day and night-long closure of that resort on the Vegas Strip. The hotel now allowing guests to return. Officials say a construction crew had drilled through the main power line in the basement yesterday morning, so guests had to be relocated to nearby resorts. Daylight savings time ends this Sunday morning, and as most Americans are going to be setting their clocks back an hour, emergency officials are issuing their annual reminder that it's also a good time to change the batteries in your smoke detectors.
These little tiny firefighters that are inside of their home need to have their batteries checked on an annualized basis.
That's Emergency Services Manager for Ellensburg, Washington State, John Sinclair, who says your carbon monoxide alarm also needs
to have its battery checked.
So you're reminded to do it when you change your clock back an hour when you go to bed on Saturday night or early Sunday morning. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And the weather forecast for today begins with sunny skies and temperatures at near 58 degrees, north winds between 7 and 13 miles per hour, and tonight clear skies with a low around 31. Northwesterly winds will be between 5 and 7 miles per hour, becoming calmer after midnight. On Saturday, we have sunny skies and a high near 59, light northwest winds becoming westerly between 5 and 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 20 miles per hour. On Saturday night, we have partly cloudy skies and a low around 41. Westerly winds between 3 and 6 miles per hour. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high near 57. Light northwesterly winds will become northerly between 6 and 11 miles per hour in the morning. Winds could gust up as high as 21 miles per hour. Sunday night, mostly clear and a low around 34. Monday, start your work week with sunny skies and a high near 56 and mostly clear skies as we move into the evening with a low around 36.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And you're listening to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline's radio show here every Friday morning between 10 and 11 on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. My name is Susan Lax. I'm Executive Director of Hunterdon Helpline and your host of the show. And today I have one of my favorite guests because she is the Development Director of one of my favorite organizations here in Hunterdon County, and that is Family Promise of Hunterdon County, and she is Colleen Dewar. Welcome.
Thank you, Susan. I always love coming here and chatting with you, not only because I enjoy your company and enjoy chatting with you and solving problems, but because I think it's a great opportunity for people in the community to see that social services partners can work really, really well together, and we certainly do.
I'm glad you said that. Well, maybe we should talk about that first because, you know, one of my pet peeves is the fact that people are constantly saying that we nonprofits duplicate services.
Wrong.
Thank you. And it's a huge misnomer. And the fact that we collaborate all the time exemplifies the fact that we don't duplicate services, that we enjoy each other's expertise in varying areas and are able to piece that all together for our clients.
I agree. And I think I would take it one step further and say that our agencies and many others in the county really have an eye towards improving the process, not just getting stuck in what we do and insisting on how we do it being the right way to do it, but looking at ways to make our services better for the people who need it and maybe solve problems that weren't being solved earlier. So it's good stuff.
And something that I think people don't know is, yes, Huntington Helpline has to know about all the organizations in the area. That's our job with the helpline, to be able to refer, connect, et cetera. But what they don't know is all those organizations, I don't know them just through my database. I don't know them just because we have an encyclopedia of all the brochures, et cetera, telling us what these organizations do so we can refer as soon as somebody calls. We are in meetings constantly throughout the months, throughout the year, with these other organizations. We are sitting around the table. I am at meetings with Colleen and also with Donna Michelson, who is her counterpart at Family Promise. I don't think there's a meeting that we ever miss, and that's for so many different challenges, whether it's CEASE, the Comprehensive Emergency Assistance Committee, whether it's HASAC, Huntington County's Health Advisory Council, transportation. I mean, all of the different aspects that go into human services, we're all sitting around that table so we can do exactly what you said, mm-hmm. Colleen.
Yep.
And that's a lot of time.
Yes, it is.
Just to put it out there. Just to put it out there. And if you hear me sniffle a little bit, I apologize. I have a double ear infection. So what I really want to talk about, though, in terms of that misnomer of duplication, is how we interconnect. And the first, I think, reaction a listener would say, Colleen, is, oh, come on, Family Promise is homelessness. We know Huntington Helpline shelters people at night. They're safe in Huntington. All these different programs regarding homelessness, just homelessness, before we get into financial assistance, et cetera. How do we send the message to them that each of us are experts in our own field and that we are not duplicating services?
Right. And I think that it's important also to know that we all have our unique ability, our own ability to meet the unique needs of our client base. So we, for example, work with families in homelessness. You work with singles in homelessness. Safe in Huntington helps people who are victims of domestic violence. Vets Haven helps veterans who are homeless. So we each are able to meet the unique needs of that population, and they are very, very different.
Very different.
The needs of a family coming out of into a homeless situation are very, very different than the work that you're doing to help homeless men. And I think it's important also to note that in all the cases that I just presented there, all the examples, all of us are working very hard to stabilize these people. We are doing everything in our power. So when you say that you shelter homeless men, there's much more to it, isn't there?
Well, absolutely. And with you, with families as well, I think this is just not a one-shot deal. We are always looking to the future. We're always looking at programs that offer sustainability, a holistic approach. One of the reasons why Helpline, when they have a client, we look at all of the different agencies and organizations, because one organization might help someone who is male and 65 years of age, and another is only working with people who are between 20 and 30 and female. So we have to discern all of that to be able to send them to the right organization, the right program, the right service. So and again, I just want to talk about something that you said as far as being the focus of each of those groups. Someone might say, and I'm playing devil's advocate, okay, I get it, you know, fine, you do families, they do single men, veterans, etc. Why can't we put them all under one roof?
Well, that's really a question for the county, isn't it? That's for a power that is a little bit beyond us. But again, it goes back to the unique needs of those individuals. You know, you have a veteran population that, sorry to say, but we're all aware of it, are suffering, are battling PTSD, mental illness, addiction issues, and those have to be dealt with. Those have to be dealt with.
It's and they not... have to be dealt with under that umbrella.
Sure.
Because their benefits are directed into certain buckets.
Exactly.
So, and I think the same thing with Family Promise. You have certain expertise in this field. It would take an institution with many departments to replicate what we do individually, and yet we actually we have that infrastructure in terms of our collaboration with each other when necessary and appropriate.
Sure. And I think, you know, each one, if you look at a domestic violence situation, a veteran situation, they have access to funding and programs that are very, very unique to those populations. So you need people who are expert in those areas to be able to access every single opportunity for that population. And it's very similar with family homelessness. And I think really what makes our program unique also is the fact that it's extremely low cost. So we do not have an overnight shelter site. We staff it with volunteers. So we're able to help resolve family homelessness in a really, really, really cost-effective way. So if we now move into a traditional shelter situation, back to your original question, there's going to be an enormous expense associated with that. You're going to have to staff it. You're going to require security, food service, laundry facility. I mean, you're really going to go into a situation that's going to cost much more. We're able to do that, not only low cost, but also back to the volunteers. We now have a situation of neighbors helping neighbors. So we estimate that there are hundreds, if not over 1,000 volunteers that help our program run every single year. Not one of those people can suggest that we don't have a homeless problem in Hunterdon County. So now you have a community awareness situation that you wouldn't have if they were cloistered in a traditional homeless shelter.
In somebody else's backyard.
Exactly. Right. And I'm wondering where that backyard is. But if we could find it,
really,
certainly would snag it.
And that's another reason why we say, okay, don't we have a county division of social services? Well, again, their hands are tied in terms of the kinds of funding that they
sure.
get and in terms of the eligibility of each of those programs that come from on high past the state from feds. And so that's why we get some of the grant money from them, but again, with some shackles on them. So that's the need for all of us out here in the community. And we're going to talk more about it when we come back. I've got to take a short break. But stay tuned because, oh, I've got lots of stuff to say.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And you're back listening to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helplines radio show on the Chamber of Commerce here in Hunterdon County, their internet radio station. And I'm Susan Lax. And today we've got Colleen Dewar, the Development Director of Family Promise of Hunterdon County. And we are talking about not just homelessness, but how we address homelessness, who are the organizations that do that. And yes, the bottom line is there is homelessness in Hunterdon County.
Yes, there is. It's certainly not the numbers that you see in other counties. There's no question about that. But I think we struggle with a unique form of homelessness in that we are a very rural, remote area. Transportation is an issue beyond the surface issue that is intuitive to everyone. Of course, it's difficult here. And we love the Link. We have a fantastic partnership with them, and they actually help us transport our clients back and forth from the day center to the overnight shelter sites free of charge to our agency. So yet another cost savings and a great partnership with our county. Having said that, realistically, trying to work, deal with children, get to school, and get home via the Link is not reasonable for most of the county. Unless, of course, you live and work in the borough. However, in the borough, we have, I think the last I heard, about a 3% vacancy rate. And that's across all residential vacancies, not just anything that's remotely affordable. So, you know, we're in a bit of a pickle in terms of housing in our county. So that's one of the things that we struggle with. And it makes our homeless situation a bit different than it is in an urban area. There are more challenges. Add to that childcare. So we have a difficult time for our clients in their ability to find childcare where they're not responsible for the excess fee beyond the subsidy that they get. Those centers that take that waive that subsidy are no longer. So it's becoming a real challenge, and I think the other thing we're going to start seeing is more and more of the middle class being pushed down, and then everybody's
which we've already seen since the quote unquote Great Recession.
We have, and you know, rents are going up certainly at a bigger, better clip than salaries are. So I think we're going to continue to see this problem, and on the horizon is no improvement in our homeless situation. And we don't see homeless people sleeping on the street as much, certainly, as you would in another area. Our homelessness looks very different, right?
Well, also, because here in Hunterdon County, and many people might not know this, because we have rural areas, not that we're a rural county, that's really not what I'm trying to say, but we have rural areas. So if we go beyond Flemington Borough, we can find woods. We can find park areas and so forth, places that we as residents would not see if somebody pitched a tent or if somebody was under a bench, you know, out.
Behind a building.
Exactly.
Or in their car, which right. is not uncommon.
So we don't, and to your point, a city has a concentration certainly greater than ours of homelessness, but they have a concentration of services as well, and also the inability for the homeless to hide in those open spaces or those remote areas, if you will.
Right, unless, of course, it's a city that happens to criminalize homelessness, in which case there will be places to hide.
Well, you know, it's funny because Hunterdon County, I mean, I love Hunterdon County. I love living here. And I don't quite frankly think that it's tarnished by people who are homeless. I think we're all residents, whether we're living on a park bench or whether we're living in a McMansion. And how we integrate all of that and come up with the best solution, I think, is what our organizations try to do. But I do feel that we have to look at this in terms of first getting people to understand that their neighbors, to your point of the middle class, their neighbors who they once knew might in fact be our clients now as a result Sure. of that recession. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we understand that we already have a situation where people need jobs and people need workforce housing before we even get to that next step that I know Flemington is looking at, the freeholders are looking at in terms of economic development. And believe me, I am a big proponent of economic development because, again, more jobs, less people on the street.
Sure.
My clients have options. But to your point, the jobs could be there, but the lack of housing, lack of transportation to get to the jobs, et cetera, is huge.
Yeah, it's a real pickle we're in as a county, and it's very, very hard. I mean, you and I were chatting about this offline, but for someone to come into a homeless situation, they've lost everything. They have, and they come to us out of a variety of circumstances. They've lost everything. Now we have to find them housing. Our goal is to move families out of our shelter in 60 to 90 days. For the sole reason that we've seen, and Donna, who you mentioned earlier, is my co-director, and she does all of our case management. And over 10 years of doing that, she has seen that after 60 to 90 days, if you're not making any progress and it doesn't look like there are options for you, it can become very defeating and very frustrating, and there becomes a downward spiral.
And cyclical.
As you can imagine.
In terms of the rest of the family.
You know, we're already dealing with anxiety and depression because mm-hmm. you're homeless. Now, how do we move you out of a homeless shelter when you have nothing? And your obligation for rent for a two-bedroom in this county is the fair market rent is $1,578 a month. And a lot of people are shocked by this. But if you drive down Thatcher's Hill Road and you see the apartment buildings to your left as you're coming down into Flemington, a lot of people, when I ask, estimate those to be $700 to $900 a month for a two-bedroom. That's what they look like they should cost. They cost $1,500 a month. That's crazy. If you work, and most likely you're working retail, probably working two jobs because you're never going to get full-time hours, the math simply doesn't work. So if we had units that cost $700 to $900, it would not be unreasonable for us to have our families in the shelter, have them get jobs or keep their jobs, work their hours, save their money, and get them into a position where we can actually move them into housing that they can keep. And they can be stabilized.
Well, I'll go further than that. Housing that they can live in until they get to not just sustainability, but to success. So if I was provided with housing, childcare, a job, transportation, I'm on an upward
roll. Exactly. You're on a trajectory.
Right. And so having that kind of housing here isn't stagnant. So if we move X amount of people, say the first year, say we get our we win the lottery, Colleen and I, and we build this wonderful place, they're not going to stay there for very long if we're giving them the opportunity to actually excel, to get a job, get a better job, and move on up the way that all of us start out, okay? What works against some of our clients is that not having even just one of those pieces keeps them at a certain place. And that place does not lead to sustainability, let alone success. So what I think people need to realize is having an investment in housing like that, the people who are there, say, for 1 or 2 years or even 3 years, okay, are with all those other structures in place and support systems, will leave. They're going to go to a better place. They might even, buy a small home, a starter home.
Perhaps Habitat for Humanity.
Exactly. And that opens up the same opportunity for the next person in line. And we're going to talk about homelessness in terms of theory, but Colleen knows that I don't believe we can end homelessness. I think there was homelessness in cave times. I think there'll be homelessness up on Mars when we finally set up residency there. There are certain human issues, dilemmas, challenges that we will face till the end of time. and it puts us in precarious situations, and sometimes that means homelessness. Sometimes we lose things. Sometimes we cannot get a job. Sometimes we are afflicted with mental or physical health issues. And so I don't believe you can eradicate homelessness, but what you can do is eradicate the stagnation of it regarding very specific families. In other words, we can solve homelessness one family at a time if we had the resources. Will we end homelessness as the intellectual theory? No. But if we had the opportunity to move people through a system whereby they were getting what they needed in order to face those challenges, to overcome those challenges, and then move on to a successful opportunity. Yeah, one family at a time.
I would like to do, I just have one simple agenda, and that would be, you know, one of the comments that I hear fairly often is, well, why don't they just get a job? Well, a lot of our families have jobs or get jobs while they're with us or soon after. The issue for me is that you have families who have jobs and are working and working and working, and then there are other families who are on assistance programs. The delta between those two is non-existent. So in other words, it would be great to see our families who are working, as you say, start to become successful, to actually be able to save some money so that when that emergency car repair happens or that awful emergency, they can handle that. They can absorb it within their budget. It's frustrating and it's hard, but they can do it. I would like to see those families be in a position where they start to see that upward trajectory. They start to get some traction. And really the only reasonable way to see that happen, I think, is if their housing is affordable. And when we say workforce housing, that's what we're talking about. The workforce housing that we talk about is not what a lot of people, I think, envision. What we're envisioning is housing for people who work at ShopRite, who work at Lowe's, who work as bank tellers, who work as teacher's aides. What other professions do we see they're not particularly, home health care aides, nursing assistants, phlebotomists. This all work is honorable. As far as I'm concerned, I hear a lot of disdain about people flipping burgers. As far as I'm concerned, all work is honorable because there is a population out there that eats those burgers and shops at those stores. And if we want to continue doing that, we need people to work there. And I think it's reasonable to think that someone can have a good
which
job.
Which boosts the economy, by the way.
Right. So we can have
and everyone benefits
good jobs
from that.
And you can be successful. And yes, maybe it's true that if you're not going to get 40 hours, you need to work two jobs. That's not out of the question, and we have plenty of people who do that. But if you get those hours and you work those jobs and you put your head down and you work hard, why can't you support your family? I don't think it's
absolutely
unreasonable. We should not be looking with disdain at people who work in fast food. That is honorable work. You should be able to support your family on that. Are you going to have, you know, an extravagant lifestyle? No. No. But, you know, at that point, people are stable, they're solid, they're working, they, you know, you have a work ethic. You know, let's just not demotivate people from working because it's just too hard to get ahead and it's too unpredictable.
Well, on that thought, we're going to take a break and come back and continue along that path. So stay tuned.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as there are reports Al-Qaeda could be planning three attacks in the U.S. on the day before Election Day. CBS News is reporting U.S. intelligence officials have alerted joint terrorism task forces to the threat. No specific locations are mentioned, but New York, Texas, and Virginia are believed to be possible targets. This is the presidential hopefuls are fighting hard for votes.
If Donald Trump were to win this election, we would have a commander-in-chief who is completely out of his depth.
Take a look at her email situation. Can we trust her with our security?
Candidates Clinton and Trump on the campaign trail yesterday. The October jobs report from the Labor Department says the economy added 161,000 jobs last month. Economists were expecting more like 178,000, the jobless rate falling to 4.9%. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever noticed your hair breaking off in a shower? Or has your hair become flat and lifeless? Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation, a breakthrough treatment not found in any other hair care line. Cell Therapy's unique blend of nourishing proteins, amino acids, and key nutrients treat the scalp and cuticle, defending against breakage for hair that is thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier. Hundreds of thousands of clients swear by Ovation Cell Therapy. In fact, over 94% of Ovation customers say they recommend Cell Therapy to their friends. And Ovation Cell Therapy is risk-free with their 365-day, 100% money-back guarantee. So stop the breakage, repair split ends, and add more bounce and shine into your poor, lifeless hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Just go online to ovationhair.com, and new customers get a special introductory discount when you select USA News at checkout. Great hair is just one click away at ovationhair.com, and remember to select USA News.
And the weather forecast begins with sunny skies today and a high near 58, northerly winds between 7 and 13 miles per hour. Tonight clear with a low around 31 and northwesterly winds between 5 and 7 miles per hour, becoming calm after the evening. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 41, west winds between 3 and 6 miles per hour, and Sunday mostly sunny skies with a high near 57. Light northwest winds becoming northerly, 6 to 11 miles per hour in the morning, and winds could gust as high as 21 miles per hour. Sunday night, mostly clear and a low around 34. Monday, sunny skies and a high near 56. And we are back talking with Colleen Dewar here on Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline's radio station, radio show, I should say, every Friday between 10 and 11. And Colleen, of course, is the development director of Family Promise. And we are talking about the dilemma that both our agencies deal with every day, and that is homelessness. And we're going to talk about, we're going to actually pick up where we left off, but we want to talk about Section 8 housing and what that really is, what that really means, what's cyclical poverty. There's so many stereotypes about the families using it, but I just want to segue one second, because you and I have been fortunate enough to travel to Europe this year, very recently. In fact, Colleen came back from France and I just came back from Austria. Guess what? I saw homelessness people, you know, they were there, same as here, nothing was different. Can we say that, well, that was in France or in Austria and we're the greatest country on the face of the earth? No, because again, I just want to be clear about the dilemma of homelessness. It can happen anywhere, at any time, and to anyone. And I bring this up a lot. This was a result of the recession you touched upon, the middle class being squeezed and perhaps ending up in poverty or even homeless. And the Bloomberg News report back in December of 2012 talked about the people lining up at the food pantry in Flemington, driving up in Beamers. Mm-hmm. People who had been removed from their job, so to speak. I don't want to say fired. These people weren't fired because of poor performance or whatever, but because of the recession and because of the tightening of belts and because businesses as well as families, social services as well as nonprofits suffered. And so when we see the middle class at the food pantry already, we have to start wondering, what are we missing here? What services are not being provided? And again, if you've been with us on the first two segments, housing is huge, absolutely huge. Colleen was talking about workforce housing. And I want to also make the point that when we talk about economic development, we talk about employees. We talk about the workforce. Well, if you want to bring movie theaters and more restaurants and more retail, which is what makes a town vibrant, where are you going to find those employees if not in your front yard? And how will you keep them if they are not living in your front yard?
Right. I don't think it's unreasonable for some. Yeah, because the other comment I get, along with why don't they just get a job, is why do they live here? Well, sure, it's less expensive to live in Warren County. There's no question you'll save, $300 a month on your rent for the same similar apartment.
And no job.
Well, let's say you have the same job. You work in Flemington, but now you can't afford to live in Hunterdon County, and so you move to Warren County. How much of that $200 to $300 a month are you going to chew up with transportation and gas? And what happens when your child who's in the Flemington School District is sick, in the Warren County School District is sick and you have to go back out.
Exactly.
And, all due respect to Warren County, one of the reasons that our clients really want to live in Hunterdon County is because we have really good schools. We have excellent schools here. So is it so unreasonable to think that somebody should want to try and stay here because their children are going to get a good education?
And break the cycle.
Break the cycle of poverty. I mean, we talk
about... Because we have to get real, okay? People who... even your chronic... and I'm going to use the old stereotypical word. We talked about that during the break. Offline welfare. It's cyclical. It is something that becomes cultural only because there were not the services prevalent enough to take a family from a bad situation to a better situation. And education is key to that. And if you're going to be living in an area where the education is substandard, and I know this, my son taught for Teach for America for 2 years in inner city schools, very stereotypical, what have you. The standards are not where I sent my children. So if there's a family who understands that and wants their child to have the same education to, again, catapult them into a better situation, that's a great thing. That is an absolutely great thing, and we should be encouraging that because it will, in fact, break the cycle. And when somebody works, it's good for their neighbor. When somebody can live and send their children to school and their children are educated, it's great for the community. Those kids usually stay. Some of them become entrepreneurs. We all benefit from them. It's not a they and them and us situation.
And we need more diversity in our county. And I'm not just talking about the fact that we're over 90% white. I'm talking about diversity on all levels. I'm talking about racial and cultural and economic class. And when our children grow up in a more diverse environment, they're better people.
Well, we live in a global world. Shouldn't they be prepared for that?
They're
on the internet talking to a diverse population of people. They have access to all of that. That's great. But when they actually get a job and they walk into a boardroom for a meeting, are they really prepared coming from a very homogeneous area as to cultural competency and being able to understand somebody else's viewpoints based upon
a
different
culture. Well, that's our job as parents, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'll take that on. I have taken that on. And, I don't mean any disrespect to our neighboring counties in terms of the quality of education. I just know in talking to our clients who want to stay, sometimes we have them in our shelter much longer than that 60 to 90 days because they really have appreciated what they can have in Hunterdon County in terms of being able to educate their kids. And, you touched on generational poverty, and it is not a simple matter. It is not a simple matter of keeping a family in Hunterdon County, that child being educated at Central or North or DelVal or wherever in South, and then bam, things happen. It is very, very difficult to break that cycle. And in some of the reading that I've done, there have even been comparisons to, the ability to break out of generational poverty being the same as the ability or similar to the ability to break out of addiction. There are just certain patterns and behaviors and social systems that tend to perpetuate that problem.
And I mentioned education. And one of the reasons that we have a division called Literacy Services, where we teach not children, but adult learners, is because it has been proven that if we can educate adults so that they can get a better job, we're also breaking that cycle. Again, if it's generational, that means the education from the parent or the grandparent or whatever was not standard, for lack of a better term. And so if we can educate parents, it trickles down to their children. And suddenly their children are empowered to, even in the worst school situation, to toe the line, start paying attention. This is important. This is valuable. My parents are a role model. It is just so, so important. But I also want to make another point just so that we know, when people say, well, why do they live in Huntington County? I'm sorry, but they were born and raised here.
In many cases, sure, yeah. Or they have a support system here. And that's so critical. I mean, how was I able to do what I did when my kids were little? Because I had Tricia and Mary Jo and Paige and everybody else who supported me. And I watched their kids and they watched mine. And when you have that support system, it creates a buffer for you that will help you avoid homelessness and help to break that cycle. And, you know, back to education, one of my favorite little programs that we have at Family Promise is a program called Sustainable Housing, where we are able to help with rent for, or subsidize or pay for rent during which time the parent is getting an education. And it's maybe a degree, but more likely a certification. So now you not only have an adult who's improving their, you know, getting towards a living wage,
mm-hmm.
but who's watching mom and dad get those certifications.
Exactly.
You know,
point.
The kids right. are watching that, and mom,
the role modeling.
One
is
mom
huge.
Telling her kids, look, I'm doing this and I'm getting all A's. And so when her kids start complaining about homework, well, they're going to take it a little bit more seriously, I think, when mom is setting the tone and living by example. I think that is incredibly powerful.
And it works in reverse as well, in that the parent who has just been stuck in this generational culture of poverty very rarely gets to see what kind of options and successes are achievable.
Absolutely.
And so when they do have an education program, when they do have access to that, when they do have access to a certification program, they suddenly value something more. They are more apt to encourage their child to do that. Because otherwise, I mean, let's face it, if you're the mouse running that wheel,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you see in your family.
It's day to day. I mean, that's exactly. One of the problems with
food on the table is more yeah. important, let me say, than the job. And I'm going to say something that may not be very popular. But when somebody is getting public assistance, and it is a question of losing part of that public assistance because they've taken a job and putting less food on the table. I'm sorry, as a mother.
I think a lot of people need
what's my choice?
We need to start illustrating what it means. And,
yes,
and
absolutely.
Really, if you really put yourself into that situation and get your head around it and all the risks and uncertainties, and, you know, there's no guarantee that you'll keep that job, and nobody's guaranteed 30 hours. That's what they will start with at the interview. And you start backing down to 15. Well, now what? Now you've made the decision to work, and you have a work ethic, and you're putting the time in, and you're not getting the work. And so now your family's worse off, and all you care about is making sure your kids are okay.
Absolutely.
These are parents who just want to take care of their children. They want their kids to be okay. They want their kids to be fed. So I am right there with you in lockstep in terms of the disdain for people on welfare recipients, Section 8s, whatever group you want to categorize them in. Because people don't understand the day-to-day struggles, those folks get lumped into a group and looked at with disdain. And I think when I
can
give
also,
live examples, you can start to understand.
But I think people also don't understand what the policies are regarding those programs, that this starts at the federal level. There's only so much money to go around. I understand that. But the catch-22 does not fall on the shoulders of the recipient. The catch-22 is a result of these policies where you meet a certain eligibility, and when you get X, you get Y. And then if you get a job, we're going to reduce that because now, you know, it seems obvious you're getting a job. So
you're
gonna,
okay now.
You're right, exactly.
And it's the benefits.
Those policies have to change.
Yeah.
Those policies have to become more in tune with letting a person grow gradually out of their situation through job acquirement, through education, etc., without cutting them off at the knees should they get a job.
Right, and because you're not going to incent them. And you've seen the illustration that we did in our office in terms of, you know, we use the four legs of the table being mm-hmm. employment, housing, transportation, and childcare. And those are unique to Hunterdon County. Those are not the four legs in Camden County or Essex County. Those are the four legs of the table. And any one of those is even shaky, we're in trouble. And you've seen the illustration I did for one of our clients who exited into a $10.50 an hour job as a home health care aide. I did another scenario where if she had exited into assistance programs, and another scenario because she was looking at getting a certification to become a pharmacy tech at $16 an hour. Do you remember the losing proposition for her mm-hmm. family, not just her, but her and her two children for which she is responsible? The losing proposition was $17 an hour. The winning proposition was assistance. And that's what's frustrating because we
And that is not her fault.
Now, long term, we all know, go ahead, get the certification, take the $16, $17 an hour job because now, as you say, we're on a trajectory. So your little bit of raise every year on $16.70 is a whole lot better than
if you have a support system for the rest of it.
But the problem is now she's lost most of her food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's lost her child care subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
So again, long term, take the job because your kids are going to get older and your child care costs are going to reduce. But in the short term, she's so squeezed and looking at other people going, why am I working so hard? And it shouldn't be like that. It should be much more motivating and obvious as to why you want to work. And I think that's where I get back to the delta between an assistance program and somebody who is working. It's just not, it's not there. And that's what we need to resolve. And it, to me, it all goes back to, it goes back to those four legs, to be sure. But the shakiest leg is housing. Because that particular woman is in an apartment that is, I think, $1,600, $1,700 a month.
Which is not 25, 30% of her income.
No.
So, yes. And that's, and we all know that that's impossible. That's how we've learned since we were a young kid. That's what we learned when we were starting out. And so that is impossible, and we need to face the reality of that. Got to take some breaks, and we'll be right back. We haven't even talked about Family Promise and contacting them and donating to them. We need money. Giving Tuesday is coming up, December. And truly, truly, this is great work that Family Promise does. I'm glad to work with them in terms of finding jobs for their clients and offering other programs and services. Absolutely fantastic. Quickly give your website and your phone, and we must get to these breaks.
Our website is familypromisehc.org, as in Hunterdon County. That's www.familypromisehc.org, and we can be reached via phone at 908-782-2490.
So if you need help, call. If you don't need help, donate, and we'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterton Medical Center. Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
And you're back listening to Hands Across Hunterton, Hunterton Helpline's radio show every Friday morning between 10 and 11 on the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce Internet radio station. Hunterton Helpline is your first call for help for any challenge facing you, whether it's support for seniors, persons with disabilities, support for children, youth, and families, physical and mental health issues, employment resources, emergency shelter for both Hunterton and Somerset counties, compassionate listening, and information about the link. How can you reach us? Simply call 1-800-272-4630. That's 1-800-272-4630. Or locally 908-782-4357. And you can visit us on the internet at www.helplinehc.org. In addition to being the 24/7, 365 day of the year helpline for the county and surrounding areas, we offer our own programs and services if they are appropriate to your challenge, in addition to referring you to the other organizations that can assist you. And they include literacy services, work and activity, and a variety of different programs for seniors to age in place. I'm Susan Lax. I've been talking to Colleen Dewar of Family Promise of Hunterton County. Again, one of my favorite organizations. They just had a wonderful fundraiser at Grape Finale, and I heard that was a huge success.
It
so
did.
Congratulations.
It went really well. It was a lot of fun. It's a wonderful location, and Lisa, who is the owner, is just a terrific local businesswoman. So it's nice to support local businesses as well and shine a light on them.
And at the end of spring every year, they have Box City, which my family has participated in over the years. And it is just absolutely a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event to shine a light on the issues actually that we've been talking about for this hour. And that is homelessness here in Hunterton County. So stay tuned for that. Why don't you give the website again so that they can know, come. What's the date for Box City this year?
It's May 20th, 2017, and I have to get on the ball and start promoting that already.
Absolutely, because that might be a good date for my family to come back. They love participating. So, yes, that's huge. Go on their website, find out about it. Again, organizations in our county do great work. The nonprofits are scrambling for money to continue to do that great work. Please, please, please consider donating. You can go to givehunterton.org to see a listing of various nonprofits and what they do and what their needs are. Even besides cash, volunteering and material needs as well. But organizations such as Family Promise cannot run on goodwill and heart and fumes alone. So again, really keep track of Family Promise of Hunterton County. It does great work, and Hunterdon Helplines, very proud to collaborate with you.
Thank you, Susan, and right back at you. We know we can always count on Helpline for some high-level, really thoughtful ways to solve problems, but also on a more personal level when we have issues with clients, and being able to connect with your programs has made a huge difference in their lives. And that wraparound of various agencies, I think, is really critical and important to making people feel like they can make it.
Well, I thank you for that. Coming up next, Home Sweet Home.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medical